Brothers and sisters, welcome to this afternoon's worship service. It is a blessing that we may come together for the second time this day to join in worship of our triune God. A particular welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us in the worship via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Brother Christian Tim Ripke and Sister Megan Hope Wagoner of the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs have indicated their intentions to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward by the end of this month, the wedding ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday the 12th of March in the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs at 11:30 a.m. with the Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Consistory as elders only will meet, the Lord willing, on Monday evening at 8 p.m. in the consistory room. According to the present expectations, we intend to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Lord willing, next week Sunday in the morning service. An attestation has been requested by Sister Camille DeVos and also by Sister Danielle Limbourg, both for the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs. We wish these two sisters the Lord's blessing as they take up their place in their new congregation. The family of our late sister Dina Plug has requested us to inform you of the following. A family service will be convened, the Lord willing, in the Free Reformed Church of Albany this coming Tuesday, the 9th of February, at 11 a.m. The interment will take place at 12:30 p.m. at the cemetery, after which refreshments will be available in the Albany Church. This afternoon, we may welcome to the pulpit our own minister, Reverend Poppy. And before we commence this service, let us sing together from Psalm 71, the verses 1 and 2.
Worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to the Lord. Let's sing together from Psalm 113, verses 1 and 2. Catholic and undoubted Christian faith, let's do so this afternoon with the words of the Athanasian Creed. Let everyone say with me in his heart, whoever desires to be saved must above all things hold to the Catholic faith. Unless a man keep it in its entirety inviolate, he will assuredly perish eternally. Now this is the Catholic faith, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, without either confusing the persons or dividing the substance. For the Father's person is one, the Son's another, the Holy Spirit's another. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. Their glory is equal, their majesty is co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, such is also the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Spirit uncreate. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal, just as there are not three uncreates or three infinites, but one uncreate and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty, yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. Thus the Father is God, the Son God, the Holy Spirit God. And yet, there are not three gods, but there is one God. Thus the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, the Holy Spirit Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but there is one Lord. Because just as we are compelled by Christian truth to acknowledge each person separately to be both God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Catholic religion to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is from none, not made nor created, but begotten, nor begotten. The Son is from the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Spirit is from the Father and the Son, not made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, there is nothing before or after, nothing greater or less, but all three persons are co-equal with each other, sorry, co-eternal with each other, and co-equal. Thus, in all things, as has been stated above, both Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity must be worshipped. So he who desires to be saved should think thus of the Trinity. It is necessary, however, to eternal salvation that he should also believe in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the right faith is that we should believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is equally both God and man. He is God from the Father's substance, begotten before time, and he is man from his mother's substance, born in time. Perfect God, perfect man, composed of a human soul and human flesh, equal to the Father in respect to his divinity, less than the Father in regard to his humanity, who, although he is God and man, is nevertheless not two, but one Christ. He is one, however, not by the transformation of his divinity into flesh, but by the taking up of his humanity into God. One certainly not by confusion of substance, but by oneness of person. For just as soul and flesh are one man, so God and man are one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, sat down at the Father's right hand, from where he will judge the living and the dead, at whose coming all men will rise again with their bodies and will render an account of their deeds. And those who have done good will go to eternal life, those who have done evil to eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Unless a man believes it faithfully and steadfastly, he cannot be saved. Amen. Let's now sing of this triune God, hymn 4, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you that you are the triune God. We praise you that you are co-equal and co-eternal, that together with all three persons of the Trinity that you share majesty and glory. We stand in awe of you, Lord, that you created this world, that you saved man, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. You also sent the Holy Spirit, proceeding from the Father and the Son, that through the work of the Spirit that you renew man, you convert him, regenerate him, and you make him alive to you. And so all three persons of the Trinity are working together in order to accomplish your plan of salvation. We stand in awe of you, Lord, with the profound love and unity that you have together within your Trinity. We thank you that you have revealed this to us. We thank you about the many places in your word in which you have told us about how you work together in order to accomplish your plan of salvation. When we see the love and unity that we have, then we again stand in awe of you, and we give you praise and glory for the great work that you have done. We now ask you, Lord, that as we open your word this afternoon, that we may glorify you and give you praise for the majesty of your name. Please help us to appreciate your work and what you have done. Grant that we may stand in awe of you, that we may give you the praise that you are due. Please forgive us for all our sins. Please grant these things, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I may preach to you the Word of God concerning the work of God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our redemption, and God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. It's the triune God working together for our good. We're going to read from the Scriptures about that. I'd like to read with you from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, it mentions the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also the complementary way in which they work together to accomplish their plans. I'd like to read with you Romans 8, starting in verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth unto now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the reading of God's Word. Let's now sing together from Psalm 25, the verses 2 and 6. This afternoon, we will consider the biblical teaching concerning the Trinity by looking at what the Church has summarized, confessed in the Scripture, or what the Scripture teaches as it's been summarized by the Church in Lord's Day 8 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find it on page 524 of your Book of Praise. The first question there asks, how are these articles divided? That's a reference to the articles of the Apostles' Creed. Into three parts. The first is about God the Father and our creation. The second, about God the Son and our redemption. The third, about God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Since there's only one God, why do you speak of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one true eternal God. And after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from Psalm 139, verses 1, 7, 9, and 13.